as always, dressed in a business suit with a long overcoat to keep out the chill. He waves, immediately rushing over and opening the car door for me, taking my hand to help me stand, and then wrapping his arms around me in a big hug. "No carrying me through the lot, you big ape," I tease, relaxing into his arms. "How's your day?" His lips press to my cheek, and my heart speeds up as he whispers in my ear.
"I've missed you."
Smiling, I reply back. "I've missed you too. But we've been so busy, I've been working like mad the last few days. I don't think I've sat down once before 10 in the evening." Nick raises an eyebrow as he looks down at me, and I can tell he knows I'm exaggerating just a little. Actually, last night I was lying in bed with my legs spread, my fingers busy, and my mind on nothing but him at 10. But he gets the idea.
"Well, maybe we can go to dinner after we see the doctor, and then I can give you a reason to sit down."
I lean back, patting his chest playfully. "Any particular reason in mind?" I'm flirting, half hoping he says something sexy back, but cautiously reminding myself to go slow. It's just so damn hard with Nick. Everything with him seems natural, easy, and about 100 miles an hour. He nods somberly, playing Mr. Serious.
"Definitely something in mind."
He leans back down to whisper in my ear, his breath tickling me and making my stomach flutter.
"Maybe I could interest you in a foot rub, since you've been working so hard."
I moan, my mind already filling with ideas of candles, oil, lingerie, and Nick on his knees, easing the exhaustion out of my feet before moving up my legs. "That's not at all what I thought you were going to say, but that sounds amazing. Just don't judge my pedicure. I slapped a fresh coat of polish on for the appointment, but my toes are getting further away every day, so I'm sure it's sloppy." Nick laughs, letting go enough to let me catch my balance.
"Trust me, I'm not judging your polish."
He takes my hand and we go inside, quickly getting escorted to the sonogram room. Within moments, Dr. Stevens enters and I introduce Nick to him.
"Nice to meet you, Nicholas. We would like to do some blood work on you too, and there's a questionnaire if you're up for some paperwork. I just want to make sure we screen for any possible complications. Not that I think we'll find any."
I look to Nick, uncertain about his response, but his voice is unwavering as he answers Dr. Stevens.
"Sure, we can take care of whatever you need today. I'm here for Rose and for Jellybean."
His steadiness puts me at ease, a coil of tightness loosening in my heart to let Nick sneak in just a little more. I lie back on the table, Nick moving politely up to stand by my head and hold my hand. I jump a bit as Dr. Stevens squirts cold jelly onto my belly and begins moving the handheld wand around. I watch as he points out various body parts and takes measurements, my eyes flicking back and forth between the screen to see for myself, and then back to Nick to see his reaction. Nick looks a little terrified, but mostly excited, probably exactly how I looked at first, and I remind myself that to him, this is all brand new. Dr. Stevens presses a little bit, getting a view of the heart flickering on the screen. With a press of a button, the musical rhythm of Jellybean's heartbeat fills the room. My eyes lock with Nick's, and his jaw drops open in wonder.
"Is that it? The baby's heart?"
Dr. Stevens nods.
"Yep, sounds good. Everything's looking good for that matter. Measurements are right on track for your due date. Are we finding out the gender today?"
I nod, grinning foolishly as I think about the idea. "Yes, please. I can't wait any longer. And Auntie Brad will probably kill me if I don't call him within minutes of leaving here." Nick squeezes my hand and I look up to see him gather his courage and strength. In his steady gaze, I know that somehow everything's going to be all right.
"We're ready."
Dr. Stevens draws a circle on the screen before declaring triumphantly.
"Looks like you're having a..."
He pauses dramatically and we nod like bobbleheads until he explodes into a huge grin.
"Girl."
The news is stunning somehow, as if knowing that I have a baby girl inside me makes this all real, and I burst into tears. Joy fills and explodes inside me like someone's just set off a whole value pack of fireworks, and I've got sparklers, Roman candles, pinwheels, and more running all around inside me, and the only way to let off the pressure is through tears. Nick looks back at me, suddenly confused as he wipes the tears away, wrapping his arms around me and whispering in my ear.
"It's okay, Rose. We're having a girl and she's going to be beautiful and perfect just like you."
Vaguely, I realize he's trying to comfort me, like I'm disappointed, and I laugh. The combination of tears and laughter do him in, and he looks to Dr. Stevens for help.
Doc?
This isn't Dr. Stevens' first rodeo, though, and he smiles, patting my shoulder with a neutral gesture that can be both reassuring and celebratory.
Congratulations, Rose.
He exits the room, and I wipe the last of my tears away, getting control of myself. I'm not sad, Nick. I'm excited and happy. It's a girl. I'm having a girl. He wipes my tears once more, lowering to press a light kiss to my lips.
We're having a baby girl.
Chapter 16. Nicholas. After the doctor's appointment, I hug Rose a few more times, pulling her close. I'm still in disbelief at the surprising change in my life in such a short period of time. A baby girl. My baby girl. I carefully help her into her car before following her home in my rental SUV. I normally try and drive something that's less than a rolling penis compensation, but around here the big tires and four-wheel drive are actually helpful. Twice, as we leave stop signs, I feel the tires have to bite a little extra before accelerating, and part of me wonders if Rose's very practical and very small car is the right vehicle for the winters here. Stop freaking out, I laughingly chide myself as we pull up in front of Rose's house. I'm sure she can drive just fine around here. She's been living here a lot longer than you have, Mother Hen. I feel warm and very self-aware as Rose invites me inside her place, and from the moment I cross the threshold, I can see Rose's personality all over the place. Her style is warm and cozy, neat and tidy. Along the short hallway to her living room, I see four pictures, and I smile when I see an obviously younger Rose holding a diploma while wearing an emerald green gown and cap. Graduation? Rose stops, then smiles as she shrugs off her coat. Yep. That was me, 8 years ago. Can I take your coat? I hand her my coat and my suit jacket, leaving me in just the dress shirt and slacks that I wore from my meeting with Mr. Adams, the resort's owner-manager, earlier today. I can feel her eyes on me as she slips both onto hangers, making them disappear into the closet before leading me into a comfy-looking living room with a long overstuffed couch along one wall. I might be all about fashion at work, but at home, it's all about poofy pillows and being able to let my body relax. You'll get no arguments from me, I tell her as we sit down on the couch. My living room still has the same second-hand sofa that I picked up and have kept because, I swear, there's no place better for catching some sleep after a long flight. Now, about that foot rub. I reach down, pulling Rose's feet into my lap, encouraging her to lie back along the length of the couch. The corners of her mouth tilt up, her smile growing, as I slip off her shoes and take her feet in my hands, rubbing and kneading lightly. She groans, her eyelids fluttering as I start to work the knots in the sole of her foot loose. Nick, what are you doing?
What do you mean? Exactly what I told you I was going to do, I reply, as I run my thumb down the arch of her right foot. I can't help it. The intimacy is turning me on, even though I'm not trying to seduce her. My cock is stirring in my pants. You've been working hard, and you deserve a reward for doing so much. Tell me what you're thinking about our baby girl. I get a little catch in my throat as I say our baby girl. But I don't think Rose notices, thank goodness. Instead, she's almost purring.
Well, I'm thinking I want to name her Amelia and paint her room pink.
Well, Brad wants to paint her room pink. But that's fine because that's what I want too. I chuckle, lifting an eyebrow while wondering. I don't mean to pry, but I do need to find out more about Rose's life. Besides, she's in a good mood right now. About 2 glasses of wine from being jelly, if that was still allowed.
Brad seems like a good friend. You said he's been taking care of you?
Rose smiles, biting her lip as I work on her big toe.
Oh yeah, he's gonna spoil this girl rotten if I'm not careful. Between him and Trey, her feet may never touch the floor.
I smile back, my cock growing as Rose shifts, and I can feel the warmth of her left calf coming to rest on my growing bulge. I'm glad you've had friends and support during all of this. I'm sorry I wasn't here before. but I'm glad I'm here now.
Me too, Rose admits. Don't tell Brad, but he sucks at foot massages. Although, come to think of it, that might be on purpose because pedicures aren't really his favorite job.
I chuckle and keep massaging, my hands moving up Rose's lean legs, creating tension in the quiet house as I get higher and higher. As I trace lightly across her inner thighs, the back of my hand grazes up to her pussy as she starts to squirm. She opens her eyes and looks at me with a small smile, inviting me in. I cup her mound, my thumb sweeping across her clit, and even through her clothes, I can feel her heat. Rose bites her lip again, her breath catching when I stroke her clit again.
Nick. Oh, God. What are you doing to me?
I reach up, hooking the waistband of her leggings, shifting her a little to the side, and easing them down along with her panties in one long, exhilarating pull. My mouth is already watering to taste her, as I remember our last encounter. Driving you as crazy as you drive me? I spread her legs, sitting back on the couch facing her, so that one leg is half slung over the back and the other half on the floor, open on either side of me. Rose looks at me with desire coursing through her beautiful eyes and reaches back, grabbing the cushion behind her head. I slide my hands up her legs to her pussy, bared to me now. You're so damn perfect, Rose, I murmur as I massage her lips, spreading her wetness along my thumbs and using it to slip along the pearl of her clit and back down to her tight asshole. 5 months, and every night I've thought about you. And you are more beautiful now than ever. She writhes, her hips chasing my fingers to get more, and her fingers clench around the cushion, her breath coming in short gasps.
Please, Nick,
she moans sexily as I keep rubbing her clit in feathery little circles with one thumb and sink my other thumb slowly into her wet folds, spreading her open a little and watching the dark pink of her inner lips be massaged by my digit.
Oh, fuck yes.
I feel her squeezing me, and it's enough to make me groan out loud, my cock pressing painfully against the fabric of my suit pants. I switch, replacing my thumb with first one finger, and then two, moving them in and out slowly in time with the teasing to her clit. My sweet Rose, I murmur, watching her. Let me help you feel good. Speeding up to match the rhythm she sets with her hips, I can feel the flutter starting deep in her core as her honey drips down toward her ass, and I pull back. Not so fast, Rose, I tease. We have all the time we need. She whimpers, whining desperately.
More. I need it so much. I need you.
I pull my fingers out, dipping my pinky finger in once, and then moving it to press against her tight asshole as I slide my other fingers back inside. She squirms, a sound of uncertainty squeaking out, but I reassure her, kissing her upraised knee. Just relax, baby. I'm gonna give you more than you ever imagined possible. Rose nods, her eyes full of concern and trust, but with just a few deep breaths and a few circles on her clit by my thumb, she relaxes enough, letting my finger slip inside her tight ass. I hold still, relishing the interplay of feelings across her beautiful face, and I realize, I'm her first back there. Good girl, I rasp, nearly overwhelmed with the gift she's giving me. I let the two fingers in her pussy sink in further, while I keep my pinky still. When she adjusts, I start sweeping back and forth across her clit faster, filling her with slow strokes from all of my fingers. She squirms, loving the new sensation of being totally filled and taken by my hands as I stroke her clit with feather-light caresses that are meant to light her body on fire. Rose's reaction is immediate and sexy, and she plunges herself deeper onto all of my fingers, looking down with her mouth dropping open in pleasure.
Oh God, Nick, fuck.
Quickly thrusting my fingers in and out of her, I give her clit a small pinch, and she shatters under my touch, shudders racking her body as she yells out my name. It's beautiful to behold, and I feel lucky to be the man sitting here with her in this moment.
I ignore my own desire for this instant as I watch her, and I realize again that something powerful exists between us, and I need more. As she comes back down, her eyes focus on me, and I'm shocked at the pure heat I see in their depths. She tries to sit up, and I help her, easing her legs down. Without saying anything, she reaches out, cupping my cock and massaging it, making me gasp. "Strip," she says, more fiery than I've ever seen her before. "Now." I stand, doing as she says, while she pulls her shirt and bra off, exposing breasts that are bigger, but even more perfect than 5 months ago. I do my best to give her a little show, playfully opening my shirt and easing the zipper on my pants down. But after 5 months, I'm too eager, quickly kicking my shoes off and nearly tearing a seam on my shirt as I yank it off. I sit back down on the couch, pulling her to straddle me, and she rubs along my shaft, coating me in her honey, as her hips move up and down. I groan, not sure I can hold back much longer. I mean, other than my hand, it has been 5 months for me, too. "Rose, is it okay? You know, with the baby?" She smiles at me, wrapping her arms around my neck. "Yeah, Dr. Stephen says it's fine. A few positions I can't do, no pressure on my tummy. But other than that, we're good." "Well, thank you, Dr. Stevens." I chuckle, leaning in and kissing the hollow of her throat. "And just think, don't have to worry about condoms."
"Not at all."
She lifts her hips, and I hold the base of my cock to angle inside her as she slowly lowers down, taking me into her heat, inch by inch. We both moan, my hands going around to support her back as she settles balls deep on me. There's a snapshot moment when we both look into each other's eyes before she grinds her hips against me, throwing her head back in pleasure. I lean back, kissing down her chest to her right breast, sucking on the stiff nipple until her pussy clenches around my shaft, and I tear my mouth from her skin, hissing as I pull her back up until our chests are pressed together again. "God, Rose, you feel so good. Fuck me, or I won't be able to hold back."
"Then hold on tight, cowboy,"
Rose says as she rolls her hips, lifting up and down on my cock. It's all I can do to not come right then as I squeeze her ass, encouraging her movements. She feels so good, and it's been so long. I feel like my 18-year-old self, trying not to bust so quickly when losing my virginity. I try to focus, bringing her tit up to my mouth to lick and suck as she rides, letting her be in control as long as I can. She's breathless and collapses against me, resting her head on my shoulder as she nibbles and sucks at my neck.
"Fuck me, Nick," she pants in between licks of my skin. "I can't anymore, but I need you."
Her words ignite the animal within me, and I growl, taking over with all the power inside my body. My hands grab low on her hips, holding her up so I can piston my cock in and out. Forceful, but not too hard, even if Dr. Stevens says it's okay. Sex is one thing, but I don't want to push it. Rose's moans are tight in my ear, egging me on, and I'm on the brink. "Touch your clit for me, baby," I pant in her ear, squeezing her ass again. "I want to feel you come all over my cock." She moves a hand between us, and with a few flicks, she's twitching in my hands, and I feel the pulses of her walls as she climaxes again, unable to make any noise, it's so intense for her. That's all it takes as I come too, feeling like I'm in heaven as I fill her body with my seed.
"Rose,"
I growl her name as it gushes out, filling her with pulse after pulse. As the last bit comes out, I pull her tightly against me, mashing our bodies together, and claiming her mouth in a tender kiss. Finally pulling apart, we lie down on the couch, face to face, legs and arms tangled together to have room. We're silent as I trace little circles on her belly, happily satisfied to just stay like this forever. Suddenly Rose twitches, her eyes widening in shock.
"Did you feel that?"
"No, what?" I ask, a spear of fear piercing my heart and making me worry that Maybe I'd just done something wrong.
I think the baby just moved, Rose says, smiling. Right here.
She points to a spot, low on her belly, and lays her hand flat.
There it was again.
Her voice is full of excitement, and she moves my hand to the same spot. I don't feel anything, but she does, and I'm just as excited as she is about this new step. I talk toward her belly, caught up in wonder.
Hey, Amelia.
Sorry if you didn't like all that bouncing.
I'd say we won't do it again, but...
I lower my voice and whisper in Rose's ear.
I'm sure hoping your mom wants to do it again, soon. And again, and again, and again.
Rose laughs, pushing on my shoulder, and I hug her back in tight.
Watch yourself, and you may get that chance.
Chapter 17. Rose. Sometime in the darkness of night, long after the moon has trekked across our piece of inky sky, we wake up still curled together on the couch. After a little wiggling and Nick falling to the carpet with a thump, he carries me to my bed without a single complaint. Instead, he stretches out with me, where he makes me come again and again, with imagination and a thorough devotion to my body's responses that has me wondering just how many different ways he has to make me scream out his name in ecstasy. Our initial heat, the fire that led us both to give in to a one-night stand, even though it was uncharacteristic for us, still burns just as brightly. For the next 2 days, at least when I'm not thinking about sex, I marvel at just how this all has come to pass. For the entire weekend, we've barely found time to eat and shower, opting to snuggle up naked as we rest for our next round. Nick has at least pulled on enough clothes to pay the pizza guy, who brought in a so-called family four-pack so we don't pass out from lack of calories.
You sure Devin hasn't robbed the store blind?
Nick asks, as we munch through the last of the twisty breadsticks. I'm sure she did fine, I reply, shrugging. The real world is starting to loom over us again, both of us coming down from the lover's high we've been on. She's been fine on her own before. Still, I wish it wasn't almost time to go back to work. Nick chuckles, the bounce of his chest vibrating me and making my breast jiggle.
If I were an independently wealthy multimillionaire, we could just stay holed up here forever.
Naked and fucking and recovering to do it all again, I add, smiling some. My pussy aches, but still wants one last knockout before our mini vacation ends. Nick seems to read my mind, bringing his right hand up to cup my breast, rolling my nipple between his finger and thumb.
That does sound like a good plan. Too bad folks would eventually come looking for us, and the fact that we do have jobs.
I didn't hear from Devin all weekend, except when I called her to check in. She's doing great, so maybe I could disappear from the shop for a few more days. You? Nick shakes his head, a regretful sigh escaping.
I have to check in with the deal here, and then first thing Tuesday, I have to fly out for a few days to go to Maine for another contract. My boss cleared my schedule on most of the stuff, but that one's a tough one. We couldn't shift on to someone else. I'd say you could come with me, but snowmobiling in your condition probably isn't recommended.
He smiles, but I have a small stabbing pain in my heart. I sit up, looking into his eyes, the accusation clear, but I can't help it. You're leaving again? It sounds bad, but I just can't help myself, the emotions rolling inside me. The smile falls from his face, a serious look taking over as he pushes my hair behind my ear and looks me in the eyes.
Just for a few days, he vows. I'll be right back, I promise. Like I said, my boss is clearing my schedule as much as he can, and I'm taking some long-deserved vacation time, too. I'll be back, Rose. I'll call you every night to check in on you and Amelia.
He moves forward, sealing the vow with a kiss. I feel a bit silly for my melodramatic reaction, but I can't help it. The last time he left, I didn't see or hear from him for months, and I don't want that to happen again, especially when it feels like we're doing something big here. Okay, I tell him when our kiss breaks apart.
So, where were we? Let's see what we can do before we actually have to sleep and behave like adults again.
Nick is as amazing as ever, but by Friday, I'm missing him physically and mentally. We've gotten pretty damn good at Skype sex, especially after I figured out how to hook my laptop up to my TV. Watching Nick's cock in even larger than life size is very motivating, I think with a blush, as I get the morning stocking done at the shop. Before this week, I'd never done anything like that. Just some dirty talk over the phone and maybe a little sexting. But every night this week, Nick has called me and after a quick check-in and chat, we've resorted to telling each other all the wicked things we want to do to each other when we're together again. I'd never known that masturbating while Nick's deep voice, gravelly with lust, tells me what to do would be so amazing, or that I'd find it so erotic to watch him jack off as he watches me. Twice we've even come together. It's not as good as having him here, but not a bad backup for a few days. At that, my brain screeches to a halt. A few days? Yeah, that's what he said, but it's quickly turned into a week. And last night, Nick said not to expect him back until Wednesday at the earliest.
I'm sorry, babe, but these guys in Maine are being... Well, let's just say flinty-eyed Yankee traitors isn't all just hyperbole, he'd said. I'll make it up to you, I promise.
It was okay last night, but now I'm trying not to be upset. After all, he has a job to do, and I can't expect him to change everything in an instant. His boss is supposedly trying to be cool, but in the end, he has to do what's best for the company. I'm still busy working the boutique, so I have to give him some leeway to do what he needs to do as well. It's not like I could just close up shop and traipse around the country with him right now either. I'm just in a vulnerable moment and I miss him. That's why I'm going out to dinner tonight after work. I called Brad and the Four Musketeers are going on the town tonight. Yeah, there's supposed to be three, but none of us do what we're supposed to anyway, so for tonight, four it is. As usual, I'm the last to slide into the booth next to Anna, as Brad and Trey sit across from us. Brad looks tired but happy, while Trey's buffer than ever and Anna looks... Well, to be honest, she looks like she's seen better days. I hope the ER shifts aren't wearing her out too much. Well, hello to you, bitch mama, Brad says, raising his mixed drink high. Only Brad. What the hell could he be drinking that is violently neon blue with a pineapple chunk on the rim? I look down my nose, the sass that Brad has taught me dripping from every word. I think you'd better correct yourself. I'm mama bitch, not bitch mama, unless you're calling my baby a bitch. And if that's the case, we're gonna have more than words. Is that so? Brad asks, raising a finely sculpted eyebrow. What's more than words supposed to mean? It means, for the first time in your life, a woman's gonna have her hands on your balls as she lifts them high in the air as a trophy before she makes them into some Rocky Mountain oysters. There's a pause of silence before we all burst out laughing. Through snorting laughs, Brad toasts me.
That was so classic. Mama bitch, bitch mama, Rocky Mountain oysters.
He rolls his head around on the last bit as he mimics me, thrusting his hand into the air like Wonder Woman holding her sword high. Beginning to sober, he continues.
I've taught you well, Rose. Maybe a little too well. Although I do like the way you defend Jellybean, because if anyone says one word to that little baby, I will have their hide. Trust me, I know people. Scissors and lug wrenches are just the beginning.
We laugh a little more until I'm holding my belly, because my abs hurt from the shakes of the giggles. Enough, enough, before I spill Jellybean all over this floor. Trey snorts before leaning forward, his eyes wide with curiosity.
Okay, now that that's over, spill it, girl. Brad hasn't told me what the doc said and I'm dying here.
I look to Brad, who calmly takes another sip of his blue concoction. You didn't tell him? Brad smirks back, shaking his head.
Not my story to tell, and I don't gossip, you know.
I'm incredulous, glancing at Anna, who snorts herself.
You liar! You're the biggest gossip queen I know. Half the things that go on in this town I know because you told me.
Only the interesting things, Brad says, defending himself. And only people I don't count as family. Jellybean's gender isn't anyone's business but ours. But your weekend boink fest, on the other hand.
You didn't, I squeal. But one look tells me the truth. Looking back to Trey, who's blushing lightly, I shake my head.
Holy shit, Trey, I'm sorry. I figured you already knew from Mr. Knows-All Tells-All here. Jellybean is, drumroll please.
I bang on the table lightly for myself.
a baby girl. Trey and Anna squeal, excited for me, and their excitement is so infectious that all four of us are shaking as we holler in delight. Anna wraps an arm around me, hugging me. I'm so happy for you, Rose, she says with sweet intensity. A baby girl. You're gonna have to be careful that Brad doesn't snatch her away and put her in baby pageants. Brad's eyes light up like that's actually a good idea, and I know I need to squash it before the idea takes root. Absolutely not. No tiaras and poofy dresses unless you're playing dress-up at home. And by the way, Devin sold you out on the rhinestone tiara headband. Really? That's probably a choking hazard or something anyway. Brad deflates, his lower lip jutting out in a pout. Fine, bitch. But pageants are awesome. She could win some scholarship money or something, you know? I smile back, trying not to roll my eyes. You don't give a rat's ass about college money. You just care about the glitter and stomping down a runway. Hell, if there were a way to do it, you'd be out there yourself. I pull my lips into a duck lip, squinty eye model look, and we all bust out in laughter again. All right, you've got me there. Just don't ever do that face again. Definitely not model material there, he continues, not even letting me poke him back. So I know I said I'm not a gossip, but I totally already told Trey about Nick showing back up, and presumably he told Anna. So what's the deal on the daddy front? I smile, the thought of Nick warming me up from the inside. Things are going good. We had a bit of a miscommunication and a blow-up initially, and some shock on his part for damn sure, but he's great. Bit of a blow-up, she says, Brad grumbles. You had me ready to call in the cavalry. I smirk, knowing Brad's right, and continue. We've gone on a date or two. He went to the last checkup with me. We spent last weekend together, and he seems really on board now. We're doing great. Brad eyeballs me, his chin tilted down a bit. Like I said, Boinkfest. Boinkfest 2, actually. Isn't that how you got into this pickle in the first place? Trey rolls his eyes. Ignore him. It's like he's 13 sometimes. But he does have a point. A weekend together? I'm sure my eyes go slightly glassy as I think back, and I can't keep a hint of wistfulness out of my voice. Yep, a whole weekend of naked, sweaty awesomeness, and I'm ready for an encore. Anna whistles lowly and probably a bit jealously. So, where's he at now? My drink comes, a virgin margarita, but that's okay. No booze for the next few months. Maine. He had to go for work for a few days, but unfortunately it's turned into longer. Trey looks thoughtful, forming his next words carefully.
He's traveling? He does that a lot, right?
He continues as soon as I nod.
So you said he's great and we're great, and those are two very different things. Which is it? Or both?
That's Trey. A ton of muscle, but he's also smart as hell, too, and has good insight. Hopefully both. He seems okay with the pregnancy stuff now, and we had a really great weekend. I think we're on to something. We just haven't figured it all out yet. I mean, the timeline's still really sudden. Brad and Trey look at each other, a silent conversation flashing through their eyes before Brad turns to me, concerned.
Rose, babe, you're a Disney princess kind of girl. You believe in romantic fairy tales where princes ride in on white horses to save the day and whisk you away to a castle for a happily ever after.
I shake my head, grumbling. I'm not some sappy, naive girl. Brad raises a hand, shaking his head.
I know you're not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're a dreamer, and in your heart you've always wanted the husband, kids, dog, and picket fence picture. And sometimes that happens, but I'm just not sure that's happening right now. I mean, he's here for what, a week or two? And then he's gone again.
I know Brad's trying to help me out, but I still feel a little pissed and I'm ready to argue back. Yeah, he's gone, but he's called every night. And it's not like he can just give up his work, he has responsibilities. Trey reaches across the table, taking my hand.
I get that, Rose. He does have responsibilities. You and the baby. Just don't get so caught up in a fantasy that you don't see reality. We're just worried and looking out for you.
Chapter 18. Nicholas. It's been the most pleasant version of hell the last few days. On one hand, I've gotten to do a lot of things that I love. Snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, and snowmobiling as I work with these tight-fisted potential customers who all want demonstrations that adrenaline's gear is up to the challenge. But I miss Rose, and every morning I wake up feeling worse about that. I'm just thankful that it's over and the contracts are signed. Hopefully that'll keep Wes off my back for a little bit longer, too. I slipped off to Maine for what was supposed to be a few days, promising to call Rose every night and be back as soon as possible. But a trip that was supposed to be 3 or 4 days has turned into over a week now, and I'm hating that. Our nightly phone calls were the only thing keeping me sane, even as I enjoy my work of talking to folks about our products and getting to do some real demos out on the machines in the woods. Each conversation started with her telling me about her customers at the shop, but she also told me that our little Amelia apparently loves hip-hop music because she squirms around to the beat, and how she was doing some online window shopping with Brad on furniture for the nursery. That last one hurt a little. The stab of not being involved in choosing a crib, a surprise to me. But mostly, I've been glad she's happy. I've told her about the deals I was working, the adventures I had out in the woods, even the bears we'd accidentally come upon in a cave when we were getting out of the cold on a hike. In every word, though, it's been great, because Rose has been positive that she and I would see each other soon, and that I'm going to be part of Amelia's life. It touches me, it really does, and I want to be a good father. But that's more than money. Honestly, the Skype sex is the only thing saving me from quitting on the spot and running back to Rose, knowing she wants me just as much, and that soon enough, we'll figure out our future. I've been thinking more about that as my few days in Maine turned into a week, and I'm excited to see her in person again after the up and down of missing her. Having fun with work, missing her again, and then getting to talk to her. It's going to help me figure out that next step. Rapping on the door, I'm prepped for a hot reunion, and when the door opens, I can't help but look Rose up and down, taking her in. She's dressed in a sweet little dress, hugging her curves, and totally inappropriate for the weather. But I don't think we're going to be leaving the house for a while anyway. "Damn, Rose, looking good," I say, pulling her in tight and sweeping her into my arms, hugging her as I kiss her deeply with all the passion we've been keeping on simmer while I've been gone. Pulling back, I drop to my knees in front of her. "I've missed you so much." Rose looks shocked, blinking at me as she reaches for my hands.
"Nick, we're right in the doorway. The neighbors can see."
I hear the embarrassment in her voice, but I hug her belly, kissing just to the side of her belly button. "Just wanted to say Daddy's home to my baby too, that's all. Let him watch." Rose blushes, rubbing my hair as she struggles to find her words again.
"Oh, that's not what I thought you were doing."
I look up at her, offering a wink as I get up. Of course I knew what she thought I was doing, and I'll admit that I've mused about it. But this isn't the time, I know that. "Oh, I want to, but not where the neighborhood can watch." Getting to my feet, I put an arm around her shoulders as we go inside and settle onto the couch. Rose curled up in my side as I keep her snuggled against me. For the moment, I'm happy just to hold her and trace little circles around her growing bump. Has it really been that long? Or is she just growing that quickly? Rose lets me keep stroking her belly through her dress, but turns to look me in the eyes.
"Hey, Nick, can we talk?"
The tone in her voice worries me, but I nod, looking at her with a slightly distressed smile. "That sounds ominous, but of course." Rose shifts, turning a little to look more directly at me, and while my arm's still around her, it's not as close as it was before.
"What are we doing here? I get that you have a job, and I don't really expect you to just stay here, but what are you thinking is going to be the reality of things after Amelia is born?"
I've known the question was coming. I've been thinking about it in the back of my mind myself, but somehow it doesn't make it any more easier to answer. Mainly because, while I've spent a lot of hours thinking about it, I still don't quite know what the hell's going on. Everything's moving so fast. The hardest part was waiting at the airport to come back. I had talked with Wes, who I was glad was mostly supportive.
Glad to know that, man. Listen, can you set aside some time next week for a serious Skype conversation?
I held in a chuckle, thinking about the sort of serious Skyping I've been doing for the past week and some change, but kept my voice level.
Sure, man. What about? About the next few months for you, Wes said. I don't want to be a dick, but you know that the next 3 months are a big time for us. The summer season's kicking in, and all the new lines are coming out. That means a big deal to Adrenaline's bottom line.
I know, but she's just past the halfway mark. I mean, I just learned I've got a daughter on the way, and her name's gonna be Amelia. How can I be running around the ass end of Vermont or rolling down some whitewater course in Kentucky when Rose might be in labor? There's a silence on the other end, then Wes sighs.
You're right. I didn't want to bring it up right now. Listen, we'll still talk, but I want you to give me a plan on how the rest of the sales staff can handle the territories on a more permanent basis, not just an oh shit cover for me way. Maybe some of them need to step the fuck up and start earning their keep. Time to stop earning base and earn some commission.
Now, with her question about what's next, the conversation comes back to me full blast, and I swallow. Wes wasn't trying to be a dick. He's legitimately concerned, and that's the tough part about it. He's trying to be cool, and I can see he wants to keep me and my skills in the company. But in a single mention, he sent chills down my spine. My salary base is plus a commission on sales over my target. Granted, my base salary is more than my team since I manage them all, and the VP title comes with some sweet stock options. But I've got a daughter on the way. One who'll need diapers, baby food, and braces, and violin lessons. I have to keep the money flowing in somehow, and that worries me.
Nick?
A momentary flash goes through my mind to lie to Rose that my space out was just jet lag and not to worry. To tell some placating story because I want to keep her happy. And also, right now, my cock wants a little attention too. But instead, the stronger part of me speaks up to tell the truth.
Rose, I'd like to have an easy answer for you, but really I don't. But I'm working on it, and I'm doing my best here. I've always traveled for work, and I can't change that at the drop of a hat.
Rose's eyes fall, but she nods in understanding.
Be honest with me. Do you even want to? I get it, Nick. You've always been a nomad, chasing the next adventure. Mixed in with work stuff, of course, and that's what makes you good at your job, your passion. Hell, it's part of what makes you sexy as hell. You're the sexy wanderer who lives life by his own rules. But this isn't about hookups anymore. It's about Amelia and me and you, if you want it to be. I need to know if you're going to be in and out forever. Or are you ever going to settle down? Because I'll admit that I'm getting caught up here in what could be. We could be a family, a real one. But I don't want to get my hopes up if that's not what you want.
I stand up, pacing the floor for a little as I try to form the words that have been burning in my heart for the past week.
I want to. I don't know just how the hell it's all going to work out yet, but I want to. Boss is trying to help me, but he's got expectations and is worried. I'm worried too. God, if I don't get out of there, how is Amelia ever going to afford Harvard or learn to play piano or...
Rose laughs, making me stop.
Slow down, Nick. She's not even born yet. Let's get her to walking before we book her future, let alone Harvard. I mean, it's cute as hell, and answers some of my questions, but chill.
I swallow, shaking my head, as I realize what she's saying.
Rose, I'm gonna sound stupid, but from the moment I first saw you almost 6 months ago, I felt deep inside that my life was going to somehow change at the fundamental level. I think you feel the same way, or else you would have told me to get the fuck out that second night I came back to the boutique.
Maybe, Rose admits. But what if I just wanted another dose of grade A dick?
I snort, laughing lightly,
Something tells me that's not your style. But what if I just wanted some of your grade-A pussy? Rose laughs, and I continue. Rose, you're right. I'm an adrenaline junkie, and I love my job. Hell, the name of it fits me perfectly. But the way I see it, this is my next adventure, here with you and Amelia. I gesture to the house around us with its simple, practical things, and I smile. You planned to do this alone, but you don't have to. I want to be here. Rose blinks, and I can see the tears shining in the corners of her eyes, and as they begin to roll down her face, I'm lost. Isn't that what you wanted too? I ask, coming back over and kneeling in front of her. I mean, you've had months to adjust to this, and I've only had a couple of weeks, but I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to get to know you. Hell, I'm falling for you, and having all these thoughts, picturing us, showing Amelia the woods, teaching her how to swim and ride and explore, and being a family. My search for another place to stay here in town hasn't gone so well because, well, I keep wanting to share your bed. Isn't that what you want too? Rose nods her head, sniffling loudly.
It is. I just didn't know if you did. I'm falling for you too.
She tries to wipe her cheeks, and I reach up to help her, sweeping the droplets away with my thumbs. She laughs at my attempt, finally using the neckline of her shirt to wipe the rushing tears as her smile gets larger.
God, I'm sure I look horrible.
She swipes under her eyes, smearing her makeup, more than wiping it off.
Well,
I admit, trying not to laugh out loud.
You do kinda look like a raccoon right now, but not a rabid mean one, just like one of those cute big-eyed stuffed animal ones you want to snuggle.
Hold on, let me get you something better. She laughs at my attempt at humor, finally using a tissue I quickly grab to wipe the rushing tears, and her smile gets larger.
Sorry, these hormones are like whiplash. The other day, I cried at a dog food commercial.
Smiling, I run my hands over her arms, marveling at the texture of her skin. Hormones might make Rose cry at dog food, but it also leaves her with skin that's smoother than silk. It's all right, baby. I'll just call it practice for when Amelia cries, and I have no idea why. Just rock and shush and hope for the best. It seems to work on you, and hopefully it'll work on her, too. To show her that it works, that's exactly what I do, pulling her to stand with me and swaying her body with mine as we dance to imaginary music. She wraps her arms around my waist, and I gently run my hand through her hair, inhaling the heavenly scent that is undeniably Rose. It's gonna be okay. We can do this. You and I are gonna figure this out, and we're gonna be a family. She relaxes in my arms, the tears replaced with soft scratches as she runs her nails up and down my back. Our bodies press closer together, and my cock, which has behaved itself long enough, says it's ready to take over. Rose feels it too and hums in appreciation.
God, I missed you.
She tilts her head up to look at me, and I see her eyes zero in on my lips. Taking her cue, I move to kiss her, soft butterfly kisses at first, but quickly, the fire we've been stoking with our Skype chats for the last week flares. I sweep her into my arms, moving toward her bedroom, and setting her down gently on the edge of the bed.
I see you missed me too.
Rose laughs softly as I reach for the tie at the back of her neck. Her dress is sexy but simple, and is thankfully easy to remove. Sliding it down her legs, I take a moment to watch as she lies back on the bed, her angel's wings hair spreading behind her and down over the swells of her breasts. It's breathtaking, and I admire her changing body until Rose squirms a little.
What is it?
You look gorgeous, glowing and round as you grow our little girl, I reply, my throat thick with desire and emotion. I take off my shirt, letting her get an eyeful before I move down to kiss her belly. After a soft kiss on her tight little bump, I slide to my knees in front of her, running my hands over her knees and easing them apart. Seems like I promised a little something more than belly kisses earlier.
Rose smirks down at me, getting to her elbows to watch me.
It does seem like you did, but...
Before she can finish her sentence, I pull her panties down and off, diving in to lick and suck her. I'm voracious. After watching her play with herself in HD for the past week, I've thirsted deep in my soul for her, as my tongue laps her juices into my mouth. Rose moans my name deeply, running a hand through my hair.
Fuck, yes. I've so dreamed of your tongue.
Hopefully not just that, I tease, before I start sucking on her clit. Rose makes a squeak that's half gasp, half scream of pleasure as I nibble and let my tongue flutter over the tip of her clit, cupping her ass and not letting her squirm away at all. It doesn't take long. Rose has been on edge as much as I have, despite our nightly masturbation marathons, and soon she's trembling, grinding her pussy into my mouth as she starts to come, bathing my lips in her honey. The drink of her precious sweetness only ignites another hunger deep inside me, and I get to my feet, undoing my belt and stripping off my pants and boxers. How do you want it? Rose bites her lip, licking once as she thinks, then gets onto her hands and knees.
We can do it this way, almost until the delivery, I found out.
She teases me.
And if you're good. Well, you used your fingers there once. Maybe you can do more.
And if I'm bad? I tease, running my hand over the curve of her ass. Her offer is amazing. But right now, I need a little distraction, or else I'm going to be a two-pump chump, as turned on as I am.
If you're bad, then you can definitely do more,
Rose purrs, looking back over her shoulder. So not fucking helping. I don't care, though, and I take my cock in hand, lining up and filling Rose in one long stroke. It's like completion, coming home, whatever you want to call it, and we both moan deeply.
Fuck, you're perfect for me. Keep telling me that,
Rose moans, pushing back until my cock is all the way inside her. We pause, both of us breathing deeply as the moment stretches out. Finally, Rose wiggles her ass, telling me without words what to do next. Every movement is natural as I start stroking in and out, swirling my hips and pumping deep into her. There are no words needed, nothing beyond the gasps and moans that come from deep within our bodies, so deep I swear they're coming from our very souls. This isn't fucking. This is something more. My cock is squeezed and massaged inside her with each inch I thrust, and I can feel her body electrified as I return the pleasure. It's amazing. I've never felt this close to someone before, even Rose herself during our hot encounters. We speed up, my cock pumping fast and deep inside her before switching to shorter strokes that draw out our pleasure, making sure we don't rush. Reaching underneath her, I cup her breasts, pulling her up to nibble at her neck while my cock stays buried inside her, stroking her belly and memorizing every curve with my fingertips.
Nick,
Rose finally moans as I pinch her nipple lightly while sliding my other hand down to stroke her clit. I can feel her heart thundering under my fingertips, and I let go, lowering her carefully to the bed before taking her waist in my hands. My fingers sink into the soft curve there, and I take hold, stroking fast and deep inside her. Faster and faster I go, not hammering her, but driving deep with every pump, giving her what we both need, and making my eyes roll back in my skull. It feels so fucking good. Our orgasms hit us like a lightning bolt, simultaneous and massive. Her pussy flutters and squeezes me tightly, and I explode, filling her with everything I have. Sure, I know I can't get her pregnant again right now, but there's nothing like filling her and claiming her as mine, just as she claims me as hers. We collapse into the bed, and I gather Rose in my arms, holding her close, as she's not the only one on the verge of tears after how intense that just was.
You okay?
I whisper, and she hugs me tightly.
Rose, thank you for everything. Tell you what, you're paying for half of the electricity at least,
she says, turning to look me in the eye,
and the food. Do that, and you can stay as long as you want.
I smile and kiss her little button nose. I plan on doing a lot more than that. But let's start there, and with breakfast in the morning. I want to take my girl out for pancakes. Rose shakes her head, sighing.
No good pancake restaurants in the area. How about waffles?
Deal.
Chapter 19. Rose. Opening the front door after a long day at the boutique, I'm greeted by the tangy smell of tomatoes and garlic with an undercurrent of porky deliciousness that tells me it's the good stuff. It smells divine, and my now almost 8 months pregnant stomach immediately rumbles to be fed. Amazingly, only a few months ago this smell would have sent me running for the hills to toss my cookies, since I couldn't enjoy my favorite pasta, even if I could cook it, which I can't. I'm a lot of things, but a gourmet cook isn't one of them. And the smell of cooking in my kitchen was a warning for the neighbors to call the fire department. But now it smells like heaven. And it's all due to one man. Nick, whatever you made for dinner smells amazing. It's my new favorite. There's a laugh from around the corner, and Nick steps out of the kitchen with a smile, waving to me.
Yeah, guys, that's Rose. No, I haven't been hiding her from you, Mom. Here.
Nick turns his phone around, and I see two people on his screen. One of them is definitely Nick's father, so I can only assume that the smiling woman with him is Nick's mother.
Hi, I'm Rose.
Yes, Nicholas has been telling us about you for the past half hour, his mom says, smiling. We're so excited to meet you and our granddaughter.
Her voice goes high and a little wild as she says granddaughter, and I'm glad she seems excited, not upset at the situation.
Welcome to the family, honey. I'm glad to see I raised my son right.
You've done more than that, I assure her. We start talking about Nick as a boy, their myriad of adventures, and how she worried he'd never settle down. All in all, it's a wonderful first meeting with Nick's parents, if all too short.
Okay, well, one of the drawbacks of our lifestyle is limited internet, but unlimited minutes,
Nick's dad says.
And we've got a date with a meteor shower tonight at dusk, so we need to run. You look famished, so we'll cut this short for now so that boy of mine can feed you dinner. Rose, it was such a pleasure to meet you.
You guys too, I say, grinning as Nick starts plating dinner in the background. By the way, whoever taught him to cook, thank you. The call ends with them promising to see us soon. I set the phone down with a smile, glad that went so well, and turn to admire my man. He's still in his gym clothes, probably relishing the slightly unseasonal warmth, but to me, I just like seeing his arms and chest rippling with muscle in his tank top. And he can cook. How perfect is that? So, you've got two plates of heaven for me? Nick laughs.
You haven't even tasted it yet. How could you know it's heaven?
If it tastes half as good as it smells, it's gotta be close, I tell him, finally undoing my jacket to hang it up on the coat rack. How was your day, besides the talk with your folks? Walking over, he plants a big kiss on me, tongue and all. Definitely not bad for a pre-dinner appetizer.
Much better now. Not that it was bad before, but, well, seeing you makes the day near perfect. So, you up for some linguine with my secret tomato sauce?
Can't wait, I reply, feeling Amelia turn in my tummy. She's so big we've actually been able to watch her squirm now. It's sort of weird and wonderful at the same time. Just give me time to get to the table. Nick shakes his head and guides me towards the living room.
Have a seat on the couch. I'll bring yours to you. There's dessert, too. Chocolate pudding.
Not needing to be told twice, I plop down and perch my feet on the edge of the coffee table. You're a figment of my imagination, aren't you? I call out, earning another laugh. Nope. No way are you this good. I've got to be imagining that you worked all day and made dinner and are serving me. I've officially gone off the deep end. Nick calls out from the kitchen, a playful note in his voice.
Nope, not imagining things. I'm just buttering you up.
Oh, shit. What's he got up his sleeve now? I was teasing about his working all day and still handling dinner, since really in the last few months, that's become our standard operating procedure. It's been 2 months of bliss in a lot of ways. After he got back from Maine and we had our come-to-Jesus talk, along with mind-blowing sex afterward, Nick has been with me every step of the way. He's cut way back on his travel and has spent the majority of the last few weeks permanently delegating his account.